Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I've waited all night long.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherelle, America's favorite Southern Belle. And yes, it has been a while and I have missed you. Of course, got to go ahead and introduce my dynamic co-host, Mr. Jordan Lamar. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. I wouldn't call myself dynamic. I consider myself very static because I'm always the same.
Hilarious. I mean, it has been a minute, Jordan. It's, what, like three Saturdays?
I think it has been something like that. I get lost in the days sometimes.
I get lost in the weeks. It's crazy. It's like I can't always differentiate one week from the next, especially with all this crazy weather we've been having, like snow every week. But it's been a tease. I'm not enjoying the snow teasing me. You know, you need to either give it up or put it away. That's what I say.
Yeah, I can agree on that.
Mm-mm. So how was your week?
My week?
Let's yes,
see.
Your week.
My week was, I would say it was long. It kind of actually passed by fast. You know what I'm saying? It's just midterms, things like that. It's, I don't know, cluttered. I guess that's why it passed by fast. How was yours?
Unexpected, I think is what I will say. You know, it's one of those weeks where you plan and you prepare yourself for this one area, but something else happens and it was completely unexpected. And so it's like, I don't know, I would say my week has been a week of crashing plates, but there's always a broom and a dustpan to clean up the mess, so no real complaints. You know, we keep it moving, back on the air, where I belong, loving it.
Wow, okay.
What can I say? So let's talk about the topic of the day. The topic today is be your own boss. I'm loving that topic. I don't know how you feel about it, Jordan, but I'm loving it. Loving it.
Yeah, I don't really see myself working for someone for 40 years. You know what I'm saying? So I can actually pick up on the working for myself, being my own boss. I can deal with that better.
Yeah, I'm not enjoying the punching the time clock, the 9 to 5. You know, I'm not enjoying that at all. And there's real stability in that now. Don't get me wrong. I love, you know, the stability of the 9 to 5, but I'm not enjoying, you know, being the workhorse. And that's just the truth. So, I don't know. But anyway, topic of the day, be your own boss. We got a special guest that is coming on, Mr. Desiree Daniels. He is out of Albany, Georgia. He is a true entrepreneur in every sense of the word. And so he's going to bring us a little bit of advice and information on how you can step out there on your own and be your own boss. So I hope that everyone is listening to the show, is so excited about it, just as excited as I am. I'm going to give you some very important information, those of you who are listening online. The guest call-in number for everyone who's listening to the show right now online is 646-595-4522. If you have any questions and you would like to call in and ask once we get into it. So that is like, you know, that's one of the things going on. So anyway, just kind of talking about the week in retrospect, those of you who know me and those of you who've been listening to the show from the jump, you know that, you know, radio is just one of the things that I do. The other thing, like my true passion is writing and being a poet. So I started back doing open mic since I last spoke to you on air. I started back with open mic, and I would have to say it has been a real experience. Have you ever been out to an open mic, Jordan?
I honestly have not. I was hopefully going to be able to see you actually real soon, but I have not had a chance to actually go to an open mic. That's one of my, I don't know, that's on my to-do list.
It's on your to-do list.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, open mics are very interesting. You never, you know what I'm saying, you never really know what you're going to hear. And everybody's, you know, poetry is always very different, you know, than others. So that has been, I don't know, it has been a real experience. I'm loving it, you know, going every week, presenting new work. And I don't know, I think that maybe I put more pressure on myself than was necessary in the process of doing it, because I feel like I should have my poems committed to memory that I'm going to perform. I don't like the holding the paper and reading it, and, you know, and it makes me quite anxious if I'm, you know, it's Monday and I haven't committed a new poem to memory. I get very upset with myself. I'm like, okay, I need to get this thing down. Let's get this thing going so that I can stand up there. You know, it makes me feel more like a real poet if I'm up there just, you know, reciting it and not holding that shaking piece of paper in my hand, reading it.
Did you say the greatest poets always committed it to memory, or did they actually, was it like an impromptu, they actually had the paper in front of them? But they pretty much is committed to memory, but the paper's there just for security.
You know, I don't know. It's different things because, like, every week they have someone that is the feature poet of the day. And so, you know, the feature is supposed to be, you know, somebody who's really, you know, in the game of poetry and things. And so I've seen many of them get up there and read from a paper. And I'm just like, okay, I really shouldn't pressure myself to remember everything. But to me, if I remember it, then I give myself a chance to deviate from it. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of put a nice little twist over, you know, the poem that you wrote. And that way you can always represent it. And I don't know. I'm going to have to keep, you know, working with myself on that one, not to get too uptight about it, you know what I'm saying? To just learn how to let it flow and let it go a little bit.
Yeah, I see you. I understand.
So, very quickly, we're going to sort of talk about some of the things that have been going on, you know, with this week in retrospect. I don't know. Every time I pick up my phone, I have a tweet from CNN, and it, you know, it's always about something that is, you know, something that's been going on. Some other kind of natural disaster has happened. You know, we were on the tsunami watch, you know, earthquakes here and there. You know, it made me quite nervous. You know, I don't know what's going on.
What is happening in the state of Georgia other than the 94 flood?
Well, I mean, we just had a flood up in Atlanta last year. It was last school term, actually. We just had a flood in Atlanta that really really devastated northern Atlanta. Where I am wasn't really affected as much. We had businesses and things, but we've had a few. We don't get much other than a flood here in Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, other than a flood. Like I'm saying, it's not too much other than that. What is making you nervous?
I mean, because it seems like, you know, it's just sort of all around. You know, I guess that's like the whole thing. You know, it's like you had Haiti, Chile, you know, and the tsunami watch was just all along all of these different coasts and things, you know. I don't know. So, you know, it makes me, you know, everybody's like, the end is near, and then you just had this movie that was out, what was it, 2012? Was that the name of the movie?
Yeah, that movie right there was, I don't know, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I don't buy into all of that stuff. To me, I don't know.
Depending on Real Talk Radio, depending on what you believe in, you would know that 2012 is the dumbest movie in the world. The world ended by war, to put it like that. And if you have any religious background, you would know that that's not going to happen. Straight up.
Yeah, that is true, because God did say he would not end the world by flood again.
Not like that. I mean, you got people, I don't know if all these movies that's coming out that's just completely contradicting what the Bible says. I guess that is a sign of the world ending, because that is a rumor, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, but what, you know, then the thing about it to me is that I'm just looking at the previews, the movie didn't really make sense to me, looking at the previews, which was another reason why I wasn't interested in going to see it, just because of the previews and what the world's supposed to end, was it December 21st, 2012?
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. It comes from Nostradamus, actually. Nostradamus, they did a report on him or whatever, you know, a little biography or whatever. He actually predicted a lot of things to happen in the future that has happened, so people are actually believing that when he said that the end of the world would come, that's when it's going to come. Are you familiar with Nostradamus?
I am not. Can you give me a quick lesson on who he is?
I'm not a history major. You know what I'm saying? No, but Nostradamus was like a philosopher in a sense. Like, I mean, he sit down and he does a lot of, you know what I'm saying, experiments of this, that, and the other back in the, what I want to say. If anyone knows when he actually was doing this, when he lived or whatever, please let me know, because I don't know. But it was like, I would say 1300, maybe, something like that. But he just pretty much predicted a lot of things, like, he read the Bible. He knew the Bible. He was a religious man from a physical standpoint, but it wasn't like he was a spiritual man. You know what I'm saying?
Big difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. He was just, you know, I don't know. Do your research on it. You'll find out more about it.
Okay. Nostradamus. Like, who can pronounce and spell that? That is crazy. You know I'm going to look him up. I don't know. Oh, wow. Nostradamus is also the name of an album by Nas. Okay, that's not the one I'm looking for. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked. We were doing the weekend retrospect and talking about all of that. There is a blood red waterfall pouring slowly from the Taylor Glacier in Antarctica's dry valley. Like, I'm looking at pictures of it, and it's crazy. Like, it looks like blood and guts.
Who? What does that mean?
There's a blood red. There's a five-story blood red waterfall pouring slowly from the Taylor Glacier in Antarctica's dry valley.
Okay, that's kind of crazy. I don't understand where that comes from. But
I mean, honestly, I'm wondering, like, what really is making, like, it is so disgusting to look at. And that's one of the things I'm talking about. Like, every day, I'm promising you, there's something crazy that is going on. And I don't know if the end is near or not. I know that no one knows, so I'm not buying into, you know, all of these different theories. But I tell you what, it does seem like, you know, things are beginning to be fulfilled. It's time to really start making amends, people.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So, without further ado, we might as well go ahead and let's get this whole radio thing sparking and jumping. Like, it is time to talk to Mr. Desiree Daniels and let him tell all of us how to be our own boss, what it is we need to do. I mean, obviously, the guy has to know what he's talking about because he is living it on a day-to-day basis. So right now, I just want to go ahead and say good morning to you, Desiree. You're on the air with Kay Sherrill and Jordan Lamar. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What's happening, world? How y'all doing?
Good. I'm good. I'm good. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, just like jump out there. Just tell us quickly, though. I know you personally. Go ahead and just let all of the callers know who you are and what you're about.
All right. My name is Desiree Daniels. I'm out of Albany, Georgia. And my main reason for wanting to get on the show today is to motivate people who are scared to venture out on their own and become their own boss, to give them information on how to become their own boss, and also incite you all on how I became my own boss. And that's basically what we're going to cover this morning.
That's what's up. That is what I'm talking about. This is Real Talk Radio, people. And, you know, I told you that the shows beginning of this year were all about that improvement, changing things. So this is the second one in our From Dreams to Reality series, learning how to be your own boss. So I'm so excited about the show. So real quick, Desiree, which you know for me, that's very weird to call you Desiree, but just tell us, you know, you didn't always start out being your own boss. So, like, how did you make that switch or why?
Okay. Well, this is how I started. I didn't have, like, probably over 35 jobs doing this and that. And basically I realized that that wasn't going to work me in corporate America, or letting someone else decide how much money I'm going to make, letting someone else decide what time I got to be to work, and also letting them decide what time I got to leave. Like, that just didn't sit well with me. So basically my first business venture started out with I had a lawn care service. It was very profitable, but that wasn't what I was passionate about. So then I opened a financial service and a clothing store called That's What's Up Fashions, financial service called Money Works Financial Service. And basically a lot of people, like, you know, they're going to always down you and tell you you can't do this. And the way the economy is, first of all, let me motivate you all that if you have a dream, desire, do it. And don't let nobody tell you you can't do what you want to do, because even if you don't have education, you don't even have to have college education or whatever. Because I don't have any. Basically, I knew that I wanted to start selling clothes somehow. I started out with about 24 pairs of Jordans and Air Force Ones, and built myself up to 2 stores in less than 1 year. And it's been on and popping ever since.
Okay, that's interesting. So, like, I guess we, you know, I'm believing you, but for those who are out there, like, really and truly, kind of break it down for us. Like, what is step one? You know, once you decide that this 9-to-5 is not for you, like, and you know there's something else you want to do, like what do you recommend? What is, like, the first step in being your own boss? Like, how do you start making that move?
Okay, first step, wherever your place is that you have to go to get your business license, you want to make sure that you legit, so you won't have no one on your back. Make sure you get your business license. Make sure you get your sales tax ID so that whenever people come in, you don't have to worry about them shutting you down. Basically, want to get that first, mandatory. Secondly, you don't necessarily have to have a building. You don't have to have that overhead because, like me, for instance, I started out, honestly, I started out popping my trunk, to be real with you. So, or whether you set up, I started setting up at different events, popping my trunk until I built myself up to be able to get a building, small, affordable building, and that was basically it.
Okay. So you had a business license before you actually had the store.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. And you talk about, you know, you need a sales tax ID as well.
Exactly.
And I think that is one of the things, too, that I'm seeing is because everyone, because you don't have to have a business license to have a business. And when people find that out, I think they kind of, it kind of makes them not want to go through the proper channels of getting the business license, because that was one of the questions that I asked when I started out there. I was like, okay, do I need a business license? And they're like, no, you don't need a business license to own a business. You can call yourself a business, but the business license makes people more comfortable with you because they know that you are truly legit because you actually had to show, you know, proper paperwork to get this license. And then, two, when it comes to lawsuits, business license is what keeps people, you know what I'm saying, they sue your business, not you.
Exactly. Hit it on the head.
So, how long, you say you've been in business now, what, over a year?
Yeah. The clothing business, I've been in retail for over a year and a half now. Right at a year and a half, and my financial service, we've been doing that, me and my wife, for 3 years now.
Okay. How did you start with the financial services?
Well, she worked for someone who had a financial service, and I motivated her that she can do this on her own, you know, instead of putting up with what time him telling her, but well, her boss telling her what time she has to come in, what time she has to leave, and how much money she making. I motivated her that she can do it on her own. So we first year opening 3 years ago, you know, we put every penny that we had together to get that up and running, but it paid off in the long run.
I would agree, because now you're your own boss and you tell yourself what time to go to work and what time to get off. And let me talk to you about this. I have seen, you know, many people in many different industries and, you know, with their own business and things. And I would have to say that one of the things that definitely want people to know, just because you're your own boss doesn't mean you necessarily do whatever you want to do in your business.
Oh, no. You must continue to treat your own business just like it's a 9-to-5. You got to treat it just like it's a 9-to-5. Just like you're clocking in on someone else's clock, you must continue to treat your own business the same way. Because if you don't, it will fall. It will crumble. It will not stand at all.
Yeah. And, you know, and let me say this, and people that are listening that know the town that I'm from, there is a barber, and he's a great barber. He cuts hair extremely well. He moves a little bit slow. He takes his time with it, but your hair set is always going to look well. Well, the issue that has been, you know, with him for many years is, he have hours of operation, but he doesn't stick to them. And that was such a sour note, because he would lose so many customers because he would go and do a 3-hour lunch break. He would put the sign up saying, I'll be back at 1, and he'll show back up at 3 or 4 o'clock. or, you know, days when he has something else he wants to do, he wants to close a little bit early, he's talking on the phone the whole time he's cutting people's hair, things like that. And it just, you know, I saw that, and it just always put a sour taste in my mouth, because I'm just thinking, you know, yes, you have your own shop, and this is your own business, but you could take it to the next level if you would at least, you know, go by your own operating procedures.
And I must admit also that I'm very guilty of doing the same thing. Whenever, a little bit after I first started, you know, I started seeing so much money and my clientele got built up to the point where I got complacent. And as soon as I got complacent, I started seeing I was losing out on a lot of money. And a lot of my clients was like, they'll go to the next person. Because it's like 100 people doing the same. Remember, there's always somebody else doing the same thing that you do. So you're not, you know, you are irreplaceable. So, you know, I was guilty of doing the same thing, but, you know, I had to rebound and realize that I had to treat my business like it was a 9-to-5.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there was something in the fact that you realized that, and that, you know, it had to be treated in that sense. And I'm just going to say this, because this is real talk, and I'm going to say this. I see more black businesses that are treated like they're hangout spots, that they're clubs, than I do with our Caucasian counterparts. You know, I see that because I've been in stores, you know, and the owner is white, and, you know, family members or whatever come in, and they come in, you know, they'll talk a little bit and things like that, but I'll go into a black-owned business, and, you know, they got the music blasting, curse words coming out, every other thing. You got 20 people, they're just hanging out, they're doing whatever, watching TV, playing games, playing cards. And it always just puts a sour taste in my mouth, because I'm thinking, I know you, so I'm still going to do, you know, handle whatever business I came here for. But what about clients who don't know you? This is their first time in the store, especially with the music and the profanity and things like that. You know, they bring in their children or whatever to shop in the store, and they walk in, and every other word out the song is F this and MF that and, you know, Killer B and all of that, you know? It does, and I just really want us to realize that we cannot do that. You know, you can, but if you want to take your business, everything to the next level, you got to show some maturity in your thought process. Yes, you're your own boss, and this is your business, but are you treating it like a temple, or are you treating it like a club?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. That's something else that I can also admit to, with me having more of a hip hop style store, you know, music playing. I even got an Xbox in my store. I got a flat screen on the wall. I got a 24-inch Mac with music coming out of it all day. So what happened with me is a lot of people felt like, a lot of my so-called homeboys, cousins, all the whole list that you ran down felt as if, well, we can just come up here and just hang out. A lot of times I had that problem, but what I had to do to aid that so the people won't, you know, first of all, so I won't rub no one the wrong way, you can't just be totally honest with everybody and be like, this is my business. This is a place of business, not a hangout spot. You can't be that way with everybody because a lot of people are sensitive. So what I had to do was put other people in play, to such as employees, to work there for me, so that, you know, my personal people just won't come up there and hang out. So that's another problem that I had also.
Yeah.
So to all you who's listening, who's about to start their own business, be on the watch for that.
Yeah, that is true. Joey, you have any questions for Desi? You've been so quiet. I'm thinking you must be taking notes or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm taking notes for the future.
Okay, let me ask you this, Jordan. What do you think about hiring relatives as employees? Because that's going to be my next question to you, Desiree. But real quick, you know, we got to make Jordan talk on the air, people. He likes to get quiet on me sometimes. What's your thought on that? Because I have my own opinion about it, and then we're going to talk to Desiree about it as well.
About hiring relatives. Honestly, I feel like hiring relatives is good to an extent. I mean, if you have a relative that just have bad luck or something like that, I mean, if you see that they have traits of doing something good with their life, then yes, hire them. You know what I'm saying? Keep it in the family. That's basically, that's one thing that our Caucasian counterpart managed to do real well. They don't want to disgrace the name or whatever, so they take pride in working for their family members so that they can climb the ladder and eventually branching off into their own thing. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a good thing to actually hire relatives, but you got to be smart about who you're hiring. I mean, don't be hiring Lil Nicky from the Third Ward type stuff. You know what I'm saying? Hire somebody who's going to actually keep your business going. You know what I'm saying? Who's going to actually apply themselves. That's my perspective, I guess.
Desiree, have you had any experiences? Do you hire your relatives to work in the store?
In the beginning, when I had no experience, I did. But the Notorious Big said it best, money and blood just do not mix. Because even though you might be able to trust them with your money and your assets, they still gonna feel like, well, we're family, and I can take. They're gonna feel like they can take off whenever they want to, or if they want to leave early, they can. And I mean, just by default, that's just how it works out. So I say, if you dealing with someone who you don't know, you know, they'll take you more serious than your family will. So you'll be able to train them the way that you want to, and they'll stick to the rules faster than a family member would. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, and it's kind of sad that it would be like that, because exactly what Jordan was saying, that was my thought. You see that in white, Caucasian, Anglo-Saxon, however you refer to yourself, European, do you? When they hire their family members, there seem to be very clear-cut lines about their expectations. And they will fire their relatives if they do not do the job well. And I think that it becomes the fact that they separate the business and the pleasure, the business from the personal, very well. And I've had my own experiences with that. I have tried to, you know, hire different relatives, friends and whatnot to, like, work with me in this industry that I'm in, because you have to have good people to survive as an artist. You have to have good people out there with you. But I found that when it comes to relatives and friends, you know, they don't share my dream, my passion for it. And so because they feel like, okay, well, this is my cousin, you know, just my friend or whatever, you know, I can put her on the back burner for what it is that I'm supposed to be doing for her right now, and I'm going to go to the mall with my homeboy. Or, you know, I'm finna go play the game. I'm going to go out to dinner, do whatever. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. There are always deadlines and things that need to be met and things that I need done. And if you're going to be this employee, you want this title, you know, you need to do the job. So it has been one of those things, and I'm not giving up on it just yet. You know, I agree with what you said, Desiree, you know, blood and money just don't mix, but I don't know. I don't want to give up on it just because I believe in nepotism. You know, I want to take some people with me, but I don't know. I guess like Michael Vick, I'm learning that you can't take everybody from the hood with you to the top. I don't know. My thoughts. But very quickly, we have a couple of callers on the line. So right now, because people, you know, sometimes have a phone speaker, just letting you know that I'm looking at a 326 number on my switchboard, a caller that has been on waiting to talk to you for a minute, Derrick. So right now we're going to go ahead and bring him on the air. Good morning. You're on the air with Kay Sherelle. Who am I speaking with?
This is Charles, ma'am.
Good morning, Charles. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, I got lots of good company with me on the air. I got my dynamic co-host, Jordan Lamar, and, of course, the special guest today, Desert. So, you know, I'm surrounded by excellent company, and now you're on the air with me, too. I'm on cloud nine, Charles.
That's great. How y'all doing today? I'm out here at the flea market, and, boy, it ain't good out here. How are things going for y'all?
Everything all right my way. I'm alive, so I'm wonderful.
Okay, that's what's up. I might have trying to do what you were doing years ago, trying to pop a trunk, big dog.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm trying to pop the trunk.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. Go get it. You said you're at the flea market, eh?
Yeah, I'm at the flea market.
Hey, get it in, get it in.
Okay.
So you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question. Well, because of all about, does it change everything in your life, like, or is money-wise and how you act towards people or anything like that?
So I didn't hear the first part of the question.
I was saying, did it change, like, I know it changed money-wise, but does it change how people act towards you and how you act towards people or becoming your own boss at times in the morning you feel like you sleep late? No.
Well, that's a benefit of being your own boss. You make your own schedule. You know what I'm saying? You determine when you go to work versus someone else telling you when you got to be to work. And as far as the way people gonna treat you whenever you become self-employed, those that's close to you, friends, relatives, cousins, whatever, they're gonna always want a handout. You know, they're going to always want a discount or whatnot. So you have to make sure you be on the guard from that because that get crazy. And that's pretty much it.
Oh, okay. Well, I understand where you come from in that because some people going to feel like they could be around you every day, want to hang out with you, want you to go to the club every other day, stuff like that, though.
Exactly, and those are called crabs.
Called what?
Those are called crabs. Those are the ones that munch off you, nibble as much as they can, just see what they can get out of you. Those are called crabs.
Wow. It is not only a very gross semi-STD, people, that you can get from a toilet seat or from some nasty sheets. It is also your cousin with the handout. It's your mother when she wants a discount in your store. Desi just calls them crabs. Wow.
It makes sense, though, the reason why they call them crabs. Like, if you get a bucket, you put about 10 crabs in that bucket. They all at the bottom of the bucket. If one crab crawled to the top of the bucket and almost get out, what you would see is crab syndrome kick in. And the next crab will pull that crab down and try to pull itself to the top. So that's just how the humans be. Like, what they're basically doing is trying to pull you down whenever they're doing the nibbling off you and the... So all it is crabs that got crab syndrome. So it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does. I completely understand on that. And I just want to say right now, thank you, Charles, for calling in. Hope you will continue listening to the show, Real Talk Radio, Kay Sherelle, Joe Lamar, special guest today, Desiree Daniels. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take the next caller that is on the line. Good morning. You're on the air with Kay Sherrill and Joy Lamar. And, of course, Desiree Daniels. Who am I speaking with, please? Hello. Uh-oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I was worried there for a second. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantabulous. I'm on the air with two very dynamic men. I mean, who could ask for a better morning? I'm on cloud 11.
I just have a quick question for Mr. Daniels. Listening in on you talking about being your own boss, with the way the economy is today, what other ventures are you thinking about venturing out to kind of help relieve the economy stress in case your business does not do what it needs to do in the future?
Well, something else that I'm looking into is buying some property. Basically, about to start playing Monopoly. You know, you get the board game Monopoly. It will teach you a lot about strategy. And as Ms. Lamar put it, our Caucasian counterparts, that's all they, you know, all we have to do is watch their pattern. I mean, and basically going to buy some land, some rental property. I'm also thinking about getting into title pawning. I want to jump head first into title pawning. Reason being is because I had to take out a few title pawns myself in the past and just seeing how my payment was only going toward interest, and anything over whatever my payment was, that what was going toward the principal. So, and a habit that a lot of us African-American counterparts have is, you know, we get good money during income tax time, but as soon as it be gone, you know, that's usually like the last resort. So basically, I want to motivate my people to, first of all, start being wiser, you know, as far as the rims and the big cars and the flashy jewelry. And we don't have any money in our account. We got to start making better decisions because the whole situation that we're in right now as a whole race, that's whether you're white, black, or as Ms. Sherrill say, Anglo-Saxon, we all in this thing together and we're feeling the effects of it. So we got to start being 10 times wiser. And also, to make one more comment as far as being your own boss, I just want to let everybody know this is for that person who's sick and tired of clocking in from 9 to 5, 40 hours a week. I just want to motivate you to don't be scared. If it's something that you want to do, start it out part-time. I'm not telling you to quit your job, but at least if it's some kind of idea that you have, start it out part-time until it builds up to a point where you can be able to walk away from whatever this job that you don't want to have working for someone else. And that's about it.
Okay. Now, this is Real Talk Radio, and I'm going to keep it 100% real every single show. You said something, and I promise you, I almost, like, danced on the table because it's one of those things that really it gets me. You talked about the title pun. And I've never used one of those title pun things, but I was dating a guy who did, and that was exactly what happened. Is that, you know, his payment was like two something or whatever a month, I think it was. And so, but of that, like, I think it was like $203 or something like that. 200 of those dollars was interest. The other three went to the principal. And, you know, it didn't make sense to me because I told him, I was like, you know, if you had been able to just wait a little while and you banked that $200 that you're giving them every week, you would have more than had what it was you needed. to me, like, I'm hoping that with this whole title pawn thing you're talking about, you're thinking about getting into, that you're going to make it better. Because to me, that is one of the biggest things that is oppressing, you know, us as a race, African-American, black, hate, whatever you consider yourself to be, if you have some real, you know, brown tones to your skin color, it really keeps us down. Because I know that when I'm in black neighborhoods, you see those title pawn places everywhere. And they get these, you know, they get people's titles, and, you know, people get a few hundred dollars out of them or whatever, and then by the time they finish paying them back, they've given them thousands of dollars, or they've lost their car in the process, and it's just like legal loan sharky. You know, it really, it makes me sad to see. It's just like those Rent-A-Center commercials. I hate to see those as well, because we know that as black people, we are right now people. That's our mentality. We like to be gratified right now, and that's one of the things that we have discussed previously on the show. And so things like that that kind of seem like it's gonna satisfy our desire, our wants right now. That's what we gravitate towards. But in the end, they always end up taking so much from us. They strip so much from us. You know, you have people who borrow $1,000 and they end up, you know, paying back title pawn, you know, $4,000 and $5,000 because they've paid so much in interest. Or with Rent-A-Center, they'll get a $700 TV, but they're making $80 a week payments for 3 years and end up, you know, paying $3,500 for a TV that would have only cost $700. So that's my little thing right there to plug in, because it's real talk, and I would not be me if I did not say my piece on that. So my challenge to you, or my question to you, Devic, is, you know, in getting into something like that, how are you going to make it to where it's not necessarily raping our people, but maybe, you know, in the process of you making some money, you're also helping them?
Well, I got the answer to that question. Basically, of course, I don't want to continue to see not just my people, but anybody, you know, because we all in this thing together, regardless of skin color or race. So the I already came up with the name for my title business, and it's going to be called Quick Pay Title Loan. So basically, you'll be able to pay it out quick. So I'm going to have the lowest interest rates probably in the United States. So look for a chain near you.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, and, you know, and we are, and I'm just, you know, and this is the, you know, this is the thing about it. You know, we are all in this thing together. We all live on the same planet together. But, you know, with me personally, I am for helping anybody. But my goal in the life is to really bring, you know, my own people together first and foremost, because, you know, our Anglo-Saxon, European, Caucasian, white counterparts, they are all about helping each other and bringing things together. They don't have that crab in the barrel mentality as much as we do. You see that even in the Hispanic, Latino community, you know, 20 of them will rent one apartment and they will all live together until they save enough money to buy a house and all furniture, and then they all move out at one time. And so really just want us to learn how to kind of come together and be together in this thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the process of us having our own business, let's help each other in the process, you know, just really kind of uplift and bring things together. So I am glad that that is one of the things that you thought about, because, like I say, that has title pawn, Rent-A-Center type places where you rent to own, you know, televisions and furniture, and those payday loan things. To me, those are all legal loan sharking. And they are so, you know, accessible in the black community. It's almost as if they just only put them up in our neighborhoods because we are their target because of our mentality as a people of being right now people. But moving right along on Real Talk, we have another caller on the line. I actually see two. Those of you who are waiting to talk, please just be patient. I promise that everybody will get their chance to be on the air. I'm looking at an 866 number. So good morning. You're on the air with Kayshia Real, Jordan Lamar, and Desiree Daniels. Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Who am I speaking with?
Tia.
Good morning, Tia. How you doing? Thanks for listening to the show.
Good morning. I just had a couple of comments. Everything that has been said so far has been very encouraging and very true. As Mr. Dedrick said, starting out part-time, I, too, have my own business, and there was a lot of the crab in the barrel or bucket mentality going on, not just with people in the world, but even family members who are kind of somewhat stuck in that I'm secure right now, so let's just stay here. At some point, you have to decide that you do want to move on and try something, you know, other than what you are doing. So helping out our people and trying to somewhat get them in that state of mind would be, I think, the most prominent type of business that needs to come around right about now. Because, as you said, they do target our black people. It is put in our neighborhoods to encourage them to come and borrow money and take money. And that's something that started years back. Black people didn't have money, so they would go and borrow it, and they would have to go pay everything back. And that's something that has just followed us up through the years. So
but you know what, Tia, not to cut you off real quick, but I would like to know at what point did that start? Because, you know, growing up in this country, you know, starting out as slaves and things like that, we were not given loans. So, and, you know what I'm saying, we would put our money in the mason jar and bury it in the backyard and every day dig it up and put a little bit more back in there, you know, putting the money in the mattress. We used to be people that knew how to save our money because we knew that we could not go out into the world and get a loan. At what point did we start doing that? Like, you know, that's just one of my questions. I'm wondering when did that change?
From my research, I wouldn't say it's been extensive, but from my research and my speaking to older ones, especially people who have a very bad habit of going to loans, companies getting loans, yeah, coming from slavery, we could not have loans, or they would not give us money. And when we did get it, we tried to hide it and save it. Only a few years after that, you know, after slavery was over and that type of thing, okay, the white people realized, hey, even though you are not a slave to us, you can be slave to us financially. And it went from there. And as black people continue to try to make it on their own and come up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even in the 70s, it became a point of, hey, I can go and credit this and I can pay you back later. I'm not that old. I'm in my 20s. And I remember just a few years ago when I was in middle school and elementary school, I could run to the corner store and tell the lady, you know, look, so-and-so want this. She say, put it on her tab. She's going to pay you later. And at the end of the week, you would go up and pay. You know, she would go and pay for whatever it is she had gotten that whole week or that whole month. And it starts that way. It's to the point where, okay, I know I can get it now, as you mentioned, and I can just pay for it later. And that's one of the problems with credit cards. Credit cards are the same way. We know that, hey, that money is there, and we can use it. We have to pay it back later, and we end up paying back double, triple, sometimes quadruple what we actually got if we just took the time to save the money. So it started after slavery, but because we could go and say, hey, I'm going to pay you later, and they realized, hey, you know, they're willing to do this, and we can still own them in this form, even though we can't physically own them. We can financially own them, and it has just continued. And the older we get and the more the years pass by, I also work in education, so I deal with a lot of people. I can truly see where there is not a teaching of our people. There's more of a flash of our people, and it's coming along with our children. So as Dedrick said, you have to look at or you can just look at our Caucasian counterparts and see the different things that they're doing. From the time that they're born, their parents start out with trust funds and saving funds and stocks and bonds, and they start teaching them about how they go out and start selling lemonade on the corner. How many black folks you see sitting in the neighborhood selling lemonade on the corner? You know, they start them out at an early age.
I'm sorry, you seen a lemonade stand lately?
I'm sorry?
Seen a lemonade stand lately?
Actually, I have. I too live in Albany. The area that I live in is considered a pretty good area. And from time to time, there are people that sit that have, like, lemonade stands. Girl Scout cookies are out now. There are a lot of children and adults having Girl Scout stands. It just depends on the season and the year, but yeah, there are lemonade stands or bake sale stands and things like that that are going on, and people are still teaching their children to do that. Now, I have a little boy. I started him early. From the day he was in my womb, I've been talking to him and teaching him. He's 8 years old now. He has his own bank account. He has his own wallet with money in it, and he's very good about, okay, doing the opportunity cost type thing, and he's very good about borrowing with his money or with the things that he has. If it's something he has that you want or you need, and it's something that you have that he wants, he's willing to, you know, barter with you and go back and forth on it. Or if it's something that he wants to buy, he's definitely going to decide whether or not he needs to use his money on it. That's because he's been taught that. But if we don't teach our people that, if we don't give them that education, then it does no good, you know, for us to even say anything too much about it, because they're just gonna be like, okay, whatever, and keep it moving.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment real quick. So, a statement that Albert Einstein made that is so true. He said that one of the greatest inventions ever invented was compound interest. So that's what they make a lot of money off of. So what we're gonna have to wisen up at is start saving. I don't care if it's putting back $5 a week. Save, and make wise investments upon doing research. Because I'm going to tell you, just like this, I drive a Chrysler 300, right? But I went to a car lot to get it, got it financed or whatever. Interest. But if I go to an auction in Atlanta, Georgia, I can get this same Chrysler where I paid, $33,000 through a car lot. But if I saved my money, I could have went to an auction in Atlanta, Georgia, and got this same car for $6,000 if I would have saved my money. So that just show you the power of interest.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what
interest.
That's why we got to start saving. To get what we want, and if we're gonna get ahead.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. That is crazy. I want to say thank you real quick to Tia for calling in and listening to the show. Jordan, like this is crazy to me. You know, I know you are all about the history of blacks and things like that. I mean, did we really start, you know, is that how they got us into this whole we're going to pay more for something by letting us begin to charge things at the corner store?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how it started. I mean, it came from, immediately after slavery. Like, there are a few movies that I've seen that actually has that very accurate, like Rosewood, I want to say. Like the white people that were actually, quote unquote, helping the black people were actually loan sharks. And that's exactly what they were doing. They would own a store, and they would own this store right in the middle of African American community. Like wherever there was a group of black people, they would put a store right there, and they would live there. You know what I'm saying? They would live in the store, and the black people would be forced pretty much to get everything that they owned from that man, you know what I'm saying? Any sugar, store, they'll say a little bit of needy things that you need on a daily basis, they would get from him, you know what I'm saying? And what they would do is he'll charge them. And whenever they have to pay back, he'll charge them double. You know what I'm saying? He'll be like, okay, if you charge this, you're going to owe me double. You know what I'm saying? Or not just double. Sometimes it will go down to the point where you will owe them some type of sexual activity. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. That's how it was. That's how things managed to balance themselves out in a sense. And I think that mentality just has not changed since it was like that for such a long time. You know what I'm saying? 100 years of doing the same thing, seeing your parents go through it, seeing your grandparents go through it, you automatically programmed to believe that you're going to go through it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Definitely. That's crazy. And I do remember exactly what you're talking about when you first did that show, Rosewood. So, Desert, you know, the call line is, like, crazy. I'm looking at switchboard, so we have to take another caller because everybody is, I guess, you know, on it this morning for this show. Good morning. You're on the air with Jordan Lamar, Kay Sherelle, and, of course, Desert. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
This is Brenda.
Good morning, Ms. Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Those of you who don't know, Ms. Brenda is one of our regular listeners. We've been missing you, and we haven't been on the air. We're so glad that you joined us this morning.
Well, I've been missing y'all, too. Literally. Okay. First of all, I like to say is that I was listening to earlier, you talk about Nostradamus. I watched that show, too. And Nostradamus was of the 12th century. He was considered a prophet,
yeah.
Like during that time, and he predicted a few things, but he got most of his predictions from the Bible too, and
yeah.
And he predicted the French Revolution things, and I think he even predicted the Holocaust, and some say the World Trade Center.
No, he did. Like, that's the thing. He predicted all these little, he predicted the, I want to say I wasn't born, but when Helter Skelter, who was the guy who did that or whatever? It was in California, I want to say,
yeah,
somewhere over there, the little hippie, during the hippie era, you know what I'm saying? When
yeah,
he got
yeah.
all these women to kill, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like, he predicted that, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Like, all this stuff is in a book that he wrote. He wrote it down, all this stuff, and exactly what he felt like he God was telling him or whatever. And, I mean, a lot of it has come true, I guess. You know what I'm saying? And
but then also a lot of things he predicted have not come true, such as 1999, the end of the world. So
yeah, that is true.
Whoever believe in him, you know. But my thing about opening up your own business and having family work for you to your expert that's there. My brother opened up his business, and he have family working for him in his business. And the biggest thing that he have in kind of having family work for his business, everybody think he's rich now. And every time there's a crisis in the family, it always go to him for money. Have you experienced that?
I experience that all the time. I mean,
yeah.
Just because they most people think that it's so far-fetched for someone to be self-employed. They think it takes so much money or
right.
this and that. So they automatically think, oh, well, he got it. He got it.
Yeah.
He worked for himself. He did this. Whenever they don't see the behind the scenes, the overhead costs, the investing in when you have to re-up on your merchandise or your inventory,
yeah.
And they don't see the profit margin that you're
right.
making, but they just on the outside looking in,
right.
and that's all they see is dollar signs. So, yes, I experience that all the time.
And also, every time he would... every time he do an expense, he need a receipt for the expense. And I have a lot of family members who often say, he kills me with them receipts. You know, as if, you know, he could just give up money without showing that he gave it up. That's something I just wanted to share and see that you experienced some of that too.
Right. And on that note, future business leaders and future business owners, you must keep a receipt for everything and keep account for everything.
Because
the IRS will come get you.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's where all the receipts come in that he always asks for.
Right.
Mm.
Got to keep record of everything.
For tax purposes.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, is the biggest thing, you know, and this is kind of funny. It's just because, like, I know you experienced it on that end, and as Ms. Brenda, thank you for calling in. She said she, you know, she see that with her brother. What's funny is that as soon as I published my book, everybody then started talking, oh, you big time. I know, you know, you're balling, you're doing this, and I'm just laughing at them, you know, because what you said is true. People do not know what goes on behind the scenes. They don't think about it in that sense. You know, there's always the behind-the-scenes grind that you don't see, and, you know, and it's not for everybody to see. I just think, you know, it's just one of those things. I just think that it's sort of interesting. And you know, and I want to say this to anybody who wants to start their own business or starting out for whatever it is that you're going to do, do not get discouraged by all of that. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that change you. Learn from it. You know, that I think that that's the biggest thing is, you know, because you're going to make mistakes. And I want to say that, you know, I don't have a story. You know, my company is me and, you know, and it's in a different light. But you're going to make mistakes when you start
wow.
out.
Coming straight from Kimberly Sherrell's mouth. I find it sometimes, like, I don't know what it is with us, period. It seems like whenever things start to get hard, we don't want to see it through. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to, I guess, bear through the tough parts, the times where you're not making money and you're taking a loss. Like, honestly, if you do your research, the first 2 years of your business, usually, on average, you're taking a loss. Like, you're not going to... You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to make a tremendous profit within the first couple of years because your business has to catch on. You know what I'm saying? It has to catch on. It wants to catch on. Then it'll be a regular type thing. You know what I'm saying? Income will come in regularly, and then you want to expand, but it's, you got to just see it through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the big thing. And I don't know if you want to, you know, make this comment, you know, if you want to share this much information or not, Desiree. But one of the things that has been really important to me as I'm starting out as an artist and, you know, starting, you know, my company, Sherrell Inc., it was very important to me not to take out a business loan. Because it was very important to me that I own my business from the very beginning. And, you know, people talk about the recession and things like that, and I think that that is one of the things that's sort of playing into it. Because if you start your own business, you already have overhead and all of these other things. But if you've taken out a loan from the bank, not only are you having to pay, you know, rent or mortgage on your space, utilities and things like that, you also have to make payments to the bank to continue to keep your business, and you don't necessarily own it.
Exactly. That's where the whole saving comes back into place. Because at that rate, with the bank being involved and everything, it'll be very hard to see any profit. Everything will be going back toward the bank or either toward your overhead, toward bills and everything, and it'll be very hard to see any profit at all. So that goes back to saving. So you want to set some long-term goals, just say a year from now, and you say you got an idea, you want to start a business a year from now, start saving and putting back right now. You'll be amazed that a year from now, how much money you actually have saved up to go towards your business. So that goes back to saving.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and that's one of the things, because there was this little pizza bar up here in Atlanta that I love to go to. It was a very cool spot. And, you know, and they would have, you know, good little crowds. They had a live band. I love going there. Well, they stayed open, I think, all of 8 months maybe. And then it closed, and it wasn't so much that they didn't have, you know, customers and things like that, but at the end of the day, there was too much overhead, and they couldn't survive. Bank payments and, you know, paying for the space, you know, the guy said at the end, it was just too much overhead. He couldn't continue that way. And it was very unfortunate, because, you know, I love to see black businesses open up and do well, you know, especially places like that that were really nice. So I don't know. You know, saving is definitely key. And I will say that from my personal experience, educating yourself on things also saves you so much money. Because when you start out, and, you know, and this is one of the things, is you cannot start out with the Bill Gates mentality in the very beginning. When I say, you know, that being, not that you can't be as big as Bill Gates, but you can't go from not having a business at all till you have the Bill Gates, Donald Trump, you know, business going. You can't do everything in such a huge proportion in the very beginning unless you have completely educated yourself on how to do things, because there are so many people that make money off of taking your money. That's their entire job. They just take your money because they're starting out and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You really need to educate yourself as well when you're looking at starting your own business. I have found that to be so true, because even with my website, setting up a website, people were wanting to charge me thousands of dollars to set up a website, and I was like, no, I'm not going to pay that. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to read online, and I'm going to work hard every single day until I get it done myself. And that saved me some overhead money right there that I say that I was able to put back into the business in a different light.
Exactly.
So I think we have one more caller on the air for you, Desi. I think we actually might have been disconnected earlier. I'm not sure. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Kay Sherelle, Joan Lamar, and Desi. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I just wanted to make a comment. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment on something that you guys were talking about earlier, about preparing and preparation for a business. And when you were talking about how our people got enslaved into this, what you call credit nowadays, when you're doing a business, I've learned firsthand, the most important thing is to research your business. That's the most important thing, is researching your business, because you want to know the ins and outs and actually plan, do a business plan. It's something that I noticed by working in the financial industry. A lot of our people fail to plan, you know. And as far as you guys made a comment earlier about what's the difference between our people and our Caucasian counterparts as far as business and credits, one thing that I noticed a lot of our Caucasian counterparts do is when they do go to the bank to take out a business loan, they'll only go to the bank to take out a business loan on businesses that they know is going to succeed. Now, as far as interest rates and different things like that, Mr. Daniels made a comment earlier about compound interest. When our Caucasian counterparts go to the bank, their interest rate is not as high as our people's interest rate. And one of the reasons why is because the banks know that our people have not been educated on how this system actually works. So So therefore, yes, they will get over on us. Yes, they will give us what is called credit limits and charges and compound interest and make us pay all this high interest because they don't want us to succeed. Now, when I made the comment about our going to the bank, taking out a loan for a business that you know is going to succeed, that is a good thing. You know, in a sense, depending on the type of business, that's why I say researching your business is the most important thing. Because let's say if all this fails and your business fails, and if you haven't put any money into it, you haven't lost any money, right?
Exactly.
But if you have a business, if you have a business that you can actually save, and you looking at this business, okay, I know this business is going to work. I know that I can work this business for a long period of time and pass it down to generations and generations. No, you don't want to go take out a business loan because then, again, like Ms. K. Sherelle said, you don't own your business anymore. Your business still owns you. And that's just like working for someone else. But I just wanted to make a comment on that. So, Mr. Daniels, give me some feedback on that. What do you think about that?
I'm almost speechless. There ain't nothing else to say. Nothing else to amen.
So we can go ahead on and pass the collection plate.
just to go back on a comment that what you guys were talking about earlier about how our people get enslaved into this credit situation, because our, I'm going to say, other counterparts know the mentality of our people. They know we like nice things because we have been enslaved so long where we have been blessed with nice things. So they know that, hey, this person's going to have money. They're going to buy all these nice things. A long time ago, when I think her name was Kia, when she was making a comment about going to the store and getting credit and different things like that, and that started out when these actual loan companies start coming in saying, hey, I'll give you $500, and as long as you get whatever type of income, whether it be Social Security, disability, your paychecks, have it direct deposit into our bank, and then we'll give you the difference, you know. And that's something that's very prominent today. A lot of people still is enslaved with going to these loan companies, getting these $500 or $600 loans, and let's say their Social Security check is $600. Well, they got $500 almost a year ago, and their Social Security check is still being deposited into these loan companies' banks, and they're giving them $200 or $300 from their $600 check. And then for the ones who decide not to have their checks direct deposit to these loan companies, they say, hey, give me a list of everything into your home, all your anything valuable in your home. So if you don't pay us back, now we can come into your home and take your TVs and your PlayStations and all this good, valuable stuff you have to pay us back for our money that we've let you borrow. And, of course, they're only looking at the fair market value of your stuff. To them, your $800 TV ain't worth but $50. So, you know, we have been enslaved into this what they call credit and buy now, pay later type deal.
I got an idea, Kimberly Sherelle. I got an idea. Next week we're gonna entitle a show called Enslaved by Interest. And you need to get her information and she needs to be a guest speaker. Because she has knowledge that everybody needs to be educated on. So next week's show is going to be entitled Enslaved by Interest.
Wait a minute now, Desert. Now, this might be your episode, but this is still my show. I'm just playing. I'm teasing. But, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, having a future show of that will be great. We'll definitely keep you on the line and get you info. But, unfortunately, Desert, next show is booked, and it is the fantabulous, the ginormous spoken word musician, poet, Miss Bathsheba Rim, a.k.a. Queen Sheva will be on the show next week. I'm so excited. She has her own company, Rough Language, so she will definitely be on the air. But we have been talking about finances and things like that a lot, and I think that maybe talking a little bit more about exactly what interest is and why you're paying interest and how to sort of get out from under that, you know, that will definitely be a beneficial show. So that is definitely to come. I do thank you for that idea, Desert.
You're very welcome.
Yes. I want to say thank you to the caller that was just on the air. I thank you again for going to go ahead right now and start to wrap up the show. Desiree, it has been a pleasure to have you on the air. Please very quickly tell everyone how they can get in contact with you and where they can find your store.
Well, again, my name is Desiree Daniels. I'm in Albany, Georgia. I have a store called Dats What's Up Fashions, DatsWassUp, and within a week you'll be able to go to datswhatsupfashions.com and you'll be able to get in touch with me through there.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, the internet is a great tool. You know, it has its downfalls, but for businesses and things like that, the internet is fantastic. So definitely once the website is up, you'll have to let me know, and I can definitely let everyone who's listening to the show today find out more about how to get in contact with you. You definitely want to go visit the store. That's what's up. You know, it's funny because anytime I'm in the store, I always end up saying it, and I can completely see that's the name of the store. You know, the merchandise in there, people, is hot. I'm telling you, there's always something in there that you want to buy. Definitely go check him out. Everyone listening to Joe, I would just like to say thank you and let everybody know right now that I am a part of March Madness. March Madness is in full effect, so my book, Silent Tears, is on sale right now for just the lovely price of 10. I think Amazon sells it for like 14 or 15, and it's usually like 13, I think, on my website. But right now for March Madness, we're going to do it for the 10th even. So definitely want you to continue to check it out. Visit the website. Have so much new information on the website. You need to go check it out. SherelleInc.com. That's SHERRELLEINK.com. You can always send me an email, ksherelle@SherelleInc.com. You got comments and things about the show, you can send it there, or realtalk@SherelleInc.com. Find me on Facebook. Become a fan of my page as well. New MySpace pages up. MySpace.com/KimberlySherelle. The old page is still up as well, but people, the new page, you can actually listen to my work. I have recordings of my work on there, so you definitely want to go to the new page. Those of you who are members of the old page, just quickly make that switch. It won't take you but a second. Twitter, follow me, KSherelle. You know, I'm everywhere. Definitely, if you are in the Atlanta area, you have to come and check me out at Open Mic at Tavern at the Wing Lab in Rex, Georgia. It's on Moreland Avenue, which is also Highway 42. Come out every Monday night. I promise you, the wings are on fire. Like, I'm not even a chicken person, but the wings are on point. And the drinks are always on sale, drink specials every Monday night. So definitely just come out. Say, if you don't do anything, but just come out and say hello, listen to the show, just want to say, hey, what's up, do that, please. Jordan, tell everybody how they can get in contact with you. Okay.
Hello.
Jordan?
Yes?
Did you take a nap on us?
My bad. So what up? I kind of tuned out.
Wow. You're the pits, man. Look here, people. Look for a new co-host. Join us the pits today. Tell everybody how to get in contact with you, Joy.
Well, I mean, I'm on Facebook, so you can hit me up on Facebook. That's just Jordan Lawson. I don't think that's Jordan Lamar. But, no, you can hit me up on Twitter. Type in.
Hello?
Hello?
Look, people, John is tripping today. I don't know what's going on with him. I think these weeks off have, you know, changed him a little bit. You walked away from us, Jordan. What's that about?
Hello?
Jordan. I don't know. People, if you want to get in contact with Jordan, he's on Facebook, he's on MySpace, he's on Twitter. You can't find him, send me a message. I will put you in contact with him as long as your business is clean, you know. Don't start sending, you know, crazy messages because we'll just have to go ahead and hit that big old red X that say delete. Stay in contact, people. Next week, again, the show, Queen Sheba will be on the show. She is a internationally known poet, musician, artist, you name it, she's done it. Of Rough Language. More information on her, definitely visit my website, SherelleInc.com, and also looking at the show page as well. And before we go off the air, I have to say this because this is one of the things I left off in my week in retrospect. I had a photo shoot Sunday, and I have to tell you that it was hot. So anyone who is looking to have some professional pictures done, I'm telling you, there's a photographer in Albany, Georgia, that you just have to check out. You have to check her out. Miss Aisha Banks, you want her to take your pictures. I'm telling you that right now. Anybody that knows me know I hate pictures. I hate pictures with a passion, but when I tell you the girl is gifted, the girl is gifted. So, Desiree, if you need pictures for your store, you pictures for your website, you want to check out Aisha Banks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You don't want anybody else.
Will do, will do.
So we're going to go ahead and end this show. Of course, we always have to take a minute and let everything breathe. So we're going to just say it with K-9, take a minute, let it breathe, let it ride. Thank you again, Desiree, for being on the air. Hope that you will listen to the show every Saturday morning. And as for everybody else that is out there, I am Kay Sherelle. This is Real Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me. Hope to hear you again next
and
week.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.